Desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We're very glad to be here today. And you know, the thing that I'm most grateful for is the great plan of salvation. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm not saved just because this is what folks expect of me and just so I can be a nice fella. I'm saved because I know what God did for me. And I appreciate what He's done for me. And I want to live the rest of my days for Him. And my desire is to help as many folks as I possibly can make it to heaven. As I was praying about and asking the Lord as to what He would have for us tonight, the Lord gave me the thought of the relentless pursuit of perfection. Relentless. It means you never give up. It means you never stop. And I want us to turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and I want to begin reading at about the 11th verse there. And in preface to this, I thought about the many things that as we look in our nation and our generation, what we find a lot is that there is a pursuit of something better all the time. I mean, in other words, everybody is getting better. There is this drive to make everything better than it was a previous generation. We see that at the Olympics just got through. Folks strive for a corruptible crown. They endeavor to put forth every effort that they possibly can to be better than the ones that were before them. We see it in the economic world. They're going to get better degrees and higher, make more money and try to be the richest man in the world and all those kinds of things. And there is this general desire to pursue everything and become better until you get into the spiritual matters. And what we find in the spiritual matters is that people tend to be going backwards and they justify mediocrity. And what we find not just out in the world out there, but if we're not careful, we'll see that right among us as well. That we justify mediocrity, and instead of stretching, instead of putting forth an effort, instead of saying, Lord, I want to be more of what you want me to be, we become very comfortable with where we are. In other words, I don't have to put very much effort. I'm saved. That should be good enough. You should be happy with that. And what we find in the religious world is that the religious world is making all kind of justifications for not pursuing a level that God wants us to pursue. And so what I believe the Lord wants to challenge us with tonight is that He wants His people to be perfect people. To pursue something that is greater than the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's read, if you have it, if someone can help me read, I'd appreciate it. The 4th chapter, 11th verse of Ephesians.
And you
gave some apostles,
and some prophets,
and
some evangelists,
and some pastors,
and teachers.
For the perfecting of the saints,
for the work of the
ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ,
till we all come
into the unity of the faith
and of the knowledge
of the Son of God,
unto a perfect man,
unto the measure
of the stature
of the fullness
of Christ,
that we henceforth
be no more
children,
tossed to and fro,
and carried
about with every wind
of doctrine by the
sleight of men and
cunning craftiness,
whereby they
lie in wait to deceive,
but speaking
the truth in love,
may grow
up in Him
in
all things, which is the
head, even Christ.
Now,
here is what the
scripture is laying down here.
He says here,
and He gave some
apostles and some
prophets, some
evangelists and some
pastors and teachers.
We didn't
make ourselves.
Those of us that have
been called for
various
callings,
all of us,
no matter who you are,
you didn't just
arbitrarily one day
decide in your mind,
I think I want to be a pastor.
Or
I think I want to be an
apostle. I
want to be something for
the Lord. We
may have desired
these things. We
may have asked the Lord,
Lord, what is it
that you ultimately want
me to do?
Our desire
is to seek the
Lord. Lord,
what is it that you
want me to do? And
we pursue that.
Not something that
we decide in our
own mind that we pick it
off the shelf.
I'll do this today.
And the career that
I want to be is
I want to be a pastor.
I didn't choose to be that.
The Lord
chose us.
And in the same
way, I believe what the
Lord wants us to
understand
is when He puts
the body in
place in
the way that He
wants it in
place,
there is a
purpose for everything
that He does.
So here is
the purpose. He gave
some apostles,
some prophets,
some evangelists,
some pastors and
teachers.
Why?
For the perfecting
of the saints.
There is something
about us,
something about our
character,
something about our
spiritual life that
God wants perfected.
And
the way that He's brought
about doing it
is He gives
gifts,
and according
the gifts that He gives
allows us to be perfected by us adhering to what God brings our way. All right, so he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what we find out here is that the measure, the stature of what our perfection is, when we take into consideration perfection, we have an ultimately in our mind something that we understand is the model to which we are aspiring to. So it is not that you're trying to be like Brother Darrell. It is not like you're trying to be like the person that's sitting next to you. It is not like you're trying to be like the most spiritual person that you know. Your measure is Jesus Christ himself. Nothing more, nothing less. In the places that Jesus was, he left us a perfect example to follow in his footsteps. So what we find here is that the stature and the measure is Christ. In every situation that we find ourselves in, what we're to ask the question is, what would Jesus do in the midst of this situation? And so when we do that, we understand that we're pursuing the perfection of Christ in the midst of this trial that I'm going through right now. That maybe you're in the middle of something. Maybe you're having struggles. You're struggling and you're having a problem with forgiving someone. Some people offend you. Do you know that? All of us get offended at some point in our lives. There is no one here that will not be offended. Do you know Jesus was offended? And do you know Jesus was the perfect example of forgiveness? And so what he wants us to do is to understand he left us these examples for a reason. It is not for us to lower the standard and say that this is just natural and this is what man does. Well, you have a right to feel slighted. You have a right to be offended. They didn't treat you right in the first place. That's true. They spit in Jesus' face. They didn't treat him right, but he treated them right. He responded in the right way. There was a perfection in his response. What we find that is happening in our generation today is that we lower the standard of what Christ would have done in those kind of situations and circumstances. So we say to our fellow man when he comes and there's something that somebody has done or there's something that he's dealing with and he doesn't seem to be able to get victory over it like he needs to, we justify and we say, well, pat him on the back and say, you know what? I understand you have every right to be upset at that person. No, you don't. The Lord is seeking perfection out of you. He's seeking for you to live the life like he does. Like he did. We're called Christians for a reason. You know why we're called Christians? Because there's Christ in it. Alright, so what we find nowadays, most of us, when we're dealing with situations out in the world, most of us know how a Christian should react in any given circumstance, don't we? The world knows that. It's not a secret. People that don't even read the Bible know whether or not you're to have a good attitude or not. And do you not realize here that Jesus Christ, what would he do in these kinds of circumstances? Do you realize that this is what the preaching is all about? Do you realize that this is what the revival is all about? Because ultimately, people are not going to know what Christ is like. We put it in the practical terms. We show the people what Christ is under duress, under stress, under persecution. When people turn their backs on us, we show them what Christ would do because what are we? We are, what does the scripture say? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. We are the body of Christ. So our responsibility is to mature and to be equipped to mature and grow up to the full measure and the stature of Jesus Christ. Stop making excuses for your shortcomings. Stop justifying your friend for what he's doing when you know he's not living just like the Lord wants him to live. But this is what's happening out in the world, real world today. Out in the real world, it is happening where you don't have to live quite that way because nobody can be perfect. We have all heard that and we understand and we'll deal with that, Lord willing. Nobody can live perfect, so we just strive and we do the best that we can. But what we find out is that the measure is not Christ, the measure is another man. The measure is what I think I can do and what I think I cannot do. But let me tell you, the grace of God is sufficient for you. Saints of God, if we're going to be the kind of church and the kind of body that Jesus Christ wants us to be, we're going to have to be perfected in some of the things that come our way. The Lord wants us to be perfected. All right? All right, so mediocrity has become the norm for most Christians. We don't pursue perfection. We try to make more money. How many of you would be satisfied with making less money today than you did 10 years ago? Nobody would be satisfied with that, would they? We strive to have something bigger and better as we progress along. But I'm finding, in my experience, as I look around, what I'm finding is that when it comes to spiritual matters, we are very satisfied to be less than what we were 10 years ago. People in general. When you look at the Christian world, let's just look at the Christian world in general. The majority of the people that call themselves Christian today are not living anywhere near what a Christian lived 30 years ago. 50 years ago. And do you know, if it's out there in the real world, do you know what happens? It bleeds over into us because we don't want to just judge somebody. This is a Christian too. Well, I understand that you're a Christian. And listen, when somebody tells me they're a Christian, I don't say that they are not. I don't care what they look like on the outside. I let the fruit of their life prove to me whether or not they are truly a Christian. And so we have to open ourselves up a little bit more and we accept people. But you know what? The standard is still Jesus Christ. And we've got to make certain that we keep the standard right there. What I find happening is we lower the standard ever so slightly. And with each generation, well, you can't live up to that particular level. So don't even try anymore. So we don't try. So what I'm going to do is just the very best that we can. We pat them on the back and we say that that's all right. It's not all right anymore. It never was. All right? Let's go a little further here. I want us to turn to Philippians, the third chapter. If you haven't read it, third chapter, let's start reading at the 10th verse.
That I may know him.
The power of his resurrection,
fellowship of his suffering.
I want to know the Lord. I don't want to just have a head knowledge of him, but I want to know him for who he is. For down to the very depths, I want to know him. All right, read. That I might be made conformable unto his death.
If by any means
I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Not as though I had already attained.
Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ.
Brethren,
I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there are some things in order as I pursue these things. There is a purpose that God created every one of us for. The Lord put us in the circumstances and the family that we were born in. Nobody had any control over that, did we? The Lord allowed us to be born and raised in the environment that we were born and raised in because he had a purpose in our lives. He still has a purpose in our lives. And what we want to know and understand is, Lord, you have apprehended me, and I want to apprehend that for which you've apprehended. I want to be what you want me to be. It is not just a catchphrase. It is something that I'm pursuing with everything in my being. I'm pursuing to apprehend that for which you apprehended me. So now we cannot use our background. We cannot use our disabilities. We cannot use the thing. If I had been born in a better family, or if I had been in a different kind of a circumstance, then I would be more useful for God. No, there's a purpose that God has allowed you to be in those kinds of circumstances for His glory. And so I have to mature to that. I have to come to the place of understanding. Lord, I understand that that's what you have for me. And I no longer can make excuses for it. I no longer can make excuses for my failures and my weaknesses because you have apprehended me. And so I've got to forget those things which are behind. All my failures. Do you know anybody here ever failed at something? Anybody here maybe disappointed about some of the things in your past? Some of the places in your past, and have you ever sat down and moped about it? Have you ever thought about it? Well, Lord, I wish this had never happened to me. Do you realize that that's part of who you are? Do you realize that that's part of what God wants to use? Your past, He wants to use that for His glory. Do you know He can turn all things and make them for your good and for His glory? Everything that has ever happened to me can actually be turned for my good and God's glory. Even the terrible things, even the things I wish hadn't happened to me. But you know what we do? We go back and we begin to look back at the things in the past, and that holds us back there. And so what God says here to us today, the challenge is forgetting those things which are behind. They can hold me back. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press. I am pursuing a greater level of perfection. And some of the things that have happened to me in the past is what pushes me along. I know what I'm capable and incapable of doing. I know that if I go back there, I know where I'm going to go. And so those things, the very things that were sent to haunt me, are the things that are working together for my good and pushing me forward on the pursuit of perfection. Lord, I want to be more like you. I release those things. I cannot do anything about yesterday. I cannot go and make anything right in the way that I really wish I could and erase everything from happening, so I forget it. I make the restitutions that God wants me to make, and I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to those things which are before. Lord, I want to be a mature man. I want to be more like Christ. I don't want folks to say, oh, he's a preacher. Those are the kind you got to watch for. You know, it used to be that you could say that you were a preacher and folks had a little level of respect for you, didn't they? But now there's suspicions. And rightly so in some cases. Because they see all of what preachers are doing, so you can't use that as a standard of honesty anymore. I'm a minister of the gospel. Yeah, I know about those. May the Lord help us. Well, now it's coming not only to them, but it's coming to the Christians. Yeah, and they roll their eyes when you say that you're a Christian. Because they know how the majority of the Christians act. They don't pursue perfection. Mediocrity is the standard. And they're happy to be there. And you know what? If you're mediocre, and I'm mediocre, and everybody around us is mediocre, where's the standard? Here's the point. Standard used to be here. This is Christ. Well, we just say Christ is the standard, right? But if we stop it right here and we say that this is a good man, he's just a good man, he becomes the standard. And then what happens, people never really strive to reach that. So they say, that's too hard too, so they stop somewhere right here. Saints, we can't do it. But I see it happening. Relentless pursuit to be just like Jesus. I will be like him if it's the last thing I do. In every trial, in every self-denial, in every situation that I find myself in, every circumstance, I'm going to strive to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Do you know that there were times that Jesus said in his own, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There were places that Jesus did not want to go through. Do you know there are places that we don't want to go through either? There are situations and circumstances and things that, Lord, I wish it would, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet there was a perfection in the will of Jesus Christ. And his perfect will was that I want to be what you want me to be. I want your will to be done in this situation, not my will, your will be done. So where does the perfection come? The perfection comes in the submission of my will to God's will. It is not a physical perfection. As we strive, some folks want to say you can strive to be physically perfect. That's impossible. But there is a possibility of me having a perfection in the submission of my will, the submission of my obedience. The perfection of my obedience. I can be perfectly obedient to all that I know that the Lord shows me. I can be perfectly obedient to that. I can be perfectly submitted to all of the known will of God for my life. I can be perfectly obedient there. I can be perfectly submitted there. All right? I can have a perfect love. I can seek the Lord. Lord, you know, I've been in situations myself. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't like a person? But you loved them. At least that's what you said. I don't like them. I have. Tell off on myself. I have. I didn't like their personality. It just seemed like it grated against mine. You know what I learned about that? Mine was grating against theirs. So who do you think you are? You think you're somebody that's pretty important? You don't get on folks' nerves? Sure you do. So you know what the Lord taught me? I don't want you to just love them. I want you to like them too. So we make justifications as to what we do. We have a little distance that we put between ourselves and our fellow man. Jesus loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were in sin. We had sin smeared all over us. He picked us up out of the miry clay. Can you imagine that? Out of the miry clay. And he set our feet upon a rock and established our goal. He reached way down because of his love for us. So what he wants for you and I is for you and I to have a love for our fellow man. And there are some folks that got some really stinky attitudes. There are some folks that got some things about them that nobody likes. They don't even like it. Some things about them that they wish that they could change, but yet God wants you to have a perfected love for them. Your love being made perfect. And this way, what you can do, you can reach down just like Jesus. Remember, you're the body of Christ. You call yourself a Christian. So your responsibility, my responsibility, is to do the same thing that Jesus did, is to reach way down and lift them up if we can, by the help and the grace of God, and through the love of Jesus Christ, lift them up and establish them if we can. It's not to shun them. All right, let's go a little further. It's not as though I had already been made perfect, but I follow after. And today, maybe I have a level of perfection to the level of my understanding. I'm living to the, you know, we say sometimes, living to all you know and understand. There is a perfection in that. And that is a true statement. That is what God requires you and I to do, to live to all we know and understand. What is perfect for somebody with this level of knowledge is not perfect for somebody with a higher grade of knowledge. So our responsibility is not to find where is the easiest route, is to find out, well, Lord, what have you shown me? And when you show it to me, I'm willing to move up to that level. And do you know what I believe we'll see? I believe we'll see a greater power in the church. But do you know what we do sometimes? We cut corners. Probably all of us have done it, perhaps. I can say that I found, looked for the easier way, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily the wrong thing to do. Jesus did. He went and prayed in the garden 3 times, didn't he? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to go through it. And he went back and he prayed again. And sometimes we're going to have to pray not once, not twice, but we're going to have to pray 3 times. Until it's perfected, till our will is perfectly submitted to God's will. We cannot find the excuse, Lord, I don't know. I don't think that this is really what God has me to do, wants me to do. And sometimes we look for comfort in people. And people come and they say a few things to us. Well, I don't know if this is the thing that you really need to do. And that's really what we wanted to hear. When we know deep down in the depths of our heart that this is what God has told me to do and I better do it. I better be perfectly obedient to God. That's something that all of us can do. When we clearly understand His will, we can be perfectly obedient to it. All right? Let's go a little further here. All right. John 18. Let's go there. John 18 and 36.
Jesus answered.
Yes.
My kingdom is not of this world.
My kingdom is not of this world.
My kingdom were of this world.
If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight.
I should not be delivered
to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence.
Pilate therefore
said unto him,
Art thou a king then?
Jesus saith, Thou sayest that I am a king.
To this end was I born.
For this cause I came into the world,
that I should bear witness unto the truth.
Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So this is Jesus standing before Pilate and realizing that he was about to die. Realizing that the end had come. And what he says, Thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born. Do you know why Jesus was born? He was born to die. If you follow this story, what you'll find out is that every stage of Jesus' life, he was perfect. Every stage. When he came before Pilate, what did he say? He says, I find no fault in him. Nobody could find any fault in what Jesus, who Jesus was, and what he was. Now, when we translate that to you and I, do you realize that this is how, now, is this too high of a standard that we're preaching? Do you realize that God wants us to live a life where those that are around us find no fault with us? Now, we'll justify ourselves and say, Brother Daryl, that's just ultimately impossible. No, it's not. He says, be perfect. What this is speaking of is a maturing, coming to a place of being what God wants us to be. And I believe as we understand it in a more perfect way, then we'll understand that this is something that I can't attain to. And this is something that I've got to say in my own spirit, in my own heart and mind, that I am no longer satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. I find the norm and I fit somewhere comfortably in the middle of it. But as far as excelling and actually endeavoring to be everything that I possibly can for God, I've chosen not to do it. Maybe not in a conscious way, but in some other kind of way, maybe in a justified way, I've justified myself and said, you know what, I don't have to live like this because ... You fill in the blank. And so we justify where we are. And when the Lord says, I want you to pursue a level of perfection so that you can be just like Christ, just like me. Do you know what encourages people to come to, what draws people to Christ? It is not who I am, but it is the Christ ending. What does the scripture say about the church? It is a city that sets upon a hill that cannot be hid. In a dark world, what do you want? You want to see something that has a light to it, don't you? We're made for light. And so in this dark and sinful world, do you know what people want to see? They want to see a group of folks, or if it's not a group of folks, they want to see somebody that's really living it right. And every one of us in here can do that by the help and the grace of God. All right? I want to read a scripture in conjunction with this, Hebrews. The second chapter, 10th verse. Get it before I do, you can read it. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be called, to call them brethren. So this is talking about Christ, the captain of our salvation made perfect through suffering. What does that mean? Christ was perfect. How can he be made perfect? How he was fully mature. How can he be made perfect? Well, here's the point. Christ was made perfect through suffering because ultimately the reason that he came on this earth was to suffer and to die. That is what God intended for him to do. That was why he was born. He was born to die. And as a result of his death, we have eternal life. So he had to suffer in order for his purpose to be perfected. The will of God to be perfected, he had to die a death on the cross. A cruel death on the cross for you and I to be perfected. So it wasn't so much that Jesus was an imperfect man as the will of God was for him to die. And so to bring that to completion, to a maturity, he had to do what he came here to do. Now, what does that mean for you and I? Pray for us that I'll be able to get it out just like the Lord wants me to. What does that mean for us? That means that you and I, every one of us, the Lord put us here for a purpose. And he's endeavoring to equip us for that purpose. And our responsibility is to pursue that for which God has apprehended us from this point forward, all the way through. One of the things that I've chosen to do, and I've said, Lord, I want to be everything, not just what you want me to be. I want to be everything that you want me to be, down to the very nth degree. As we do that, I believe the Lord will bless us, and I believe he'll bless the church in general. All right? All right, let's go a little further. John 19, verse 30. Have it read it, please. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. This is the essence of it. I've completed the work that the Father has desired me to do. It's finished. Perfect. Perfected. Salvation, the plan of salvation is perfected through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk to us for a moment about the things that I see. I live in a big city. Dallas is a big city. And a lot of things that I see in these kinds of places is not necessarily something that you want to look at. Some of the things we see, we don't want to look at. But what we see, what I'm seeing, not just in Dallas, but all over the country and in the various places that I'm finding that Christians are becoming what I would say is an endangered species. It almost seems like any time that somebody wants to really stand and live for God, like God wants them to live, then there's going to be somebody that is going to come and attack them with everything that they've got. The devil, that's the devil's job. His job is to destroy your testimony. His job is to make it where you just kind of water your testimony down ever so slightly, and you're not living like God wants you to live. Do you know it's easy for us to do out there today? But do you know what I believe God wants us to do? He wants us to pursue it. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever I must go through, I'm going to do it just like you want me to do it, with everything that I need to do. I'm going to submit myself to you perfectly. I'm going to submit my will to you perfectly. I'm going to give you my perfect obedience. These are things that I have control over. And let me tell you, when we begin to see and we look at what the Christian world is doing, one of the most damaging things that I've ever seen, one of the most damaging doctrines, is the doctrine of Calvinism. We're once saved, always saved. If you believe that, then it means that you don't have to seek for perfection. You don't have to seek to live a life of holiness, living free from sin. You know, that's being attacked nowadays. You can't live free from sin, people say. But I want to say you can, by the grace of God. What does the scripture say? He said to one woman, he said, "Go and do what?" It's more or less every day. You know you can't really live it. Yes, you can. By the grace of God, by the help of the Lord, we can live it. All right? So Christ's plan of salvation was perfected, and it was finished by his dying on the cross. All right, let's go a little further. 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 7th verse. Let's go to the 5th verse. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." So it says, I have fought a good fight. I have completed. You know, your life isn't over until your purpose isn't over for what God has you here for. It's not over until you die. But you know what? It's not necessarily over then either. My mother was a good saint. Do you know her purpose? She's gone on to her reward. Do you know her purpose for being here is still living on through me? And through all of her children? And all those that were touched by her? Do you realize that all the folks in the Bible, Moses, Job, Paul, God had a purpose for them existing? They've been gone for hundreds of years. But their purpose is still living on through you. Through me. Through everyone that reads the Word of God. So let's read another scripture. Let's read Hebrews, the 11th chapter. 31st verse. Let's read a little bit of that. You can have it read that one for me. Hebrews 11, verse 31. Yes.
Men that believe not.
Yes.
When she had received, despised the peace.
Yes.
And what shall I say more?
What shall I say more?
For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon.
Yes.
Of Barak.
Yes.
Of Samson. Of Jephthah.
Yes.
Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets.
Who through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises,
stopped
the mouths of lions,
quenched
the violence of fire. Have you ever been encouraged by any of these stories? Have you ever read the stories? Have they sent about a challenge in your being, a perfection, something to reach for? There is something in the purpose of their living that is still living on. And it causes me to pursue to be more of what God wants me to be, because if they can do it, I know I can too. If they can go through the difficulties that they went through, if they can have the circumstances, that the ill things that went their way, if that can happen to them and they can still have victory in their soul, surely I can in my time. So the very things that I'm reading about right now is still working today in my life, in your life. Read, please.
Quench the violence of fire.
Quench the violence of fire.
Escape the edge of the sword.
Out of the weakness were made strong. They wax valiant in fight. Let me say, wax valiant in fight. When you're in the midst of a battle, do you wax valiant in the midst of the battle? Are you encouraged to say, listen, if he can do it, I can do it by the grace of God. If you can have victory, if he can have victory and wax valiant in the middle of the fight, surely I can too. Sometimes we get in the middle of a battle and it seems like it's just too much for us. Lord, I don't see how I can go one step further. But this one waxed valiant in the fight. May the Lord help us to do the same. All right? Read.
Turn to flight the armies of the aliens.
Turn to flight the armies of the aliens.
Women received their dead.
Women received dead raised to life again.
And others were tortured,
not accepting deliverance,
that they might
obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings.
Yea,
moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned.
They were sawn
asunder. Have you been through those kinds of things yet? Have you been stoned? Have you had the problems that these folks had here? No, most of us haven't. But you know what? This is a standard of Christ, that when Christ went through the midst of all of this, this is the standard by which he left us. Then when you're going through, you're being tormented, you're being afflicted, and it seems like everything is coming up in a complete opposite of the way it should be, are you tempted to say, Lord, I've tried to do everything just like you wanted me to do, and it just doesn't seem fair that you're allowing these things to happen to me? Or are you one of those that say, Lord, if they can go through it by your grace, I'm going to pursue that level of perfection to your will. This is what you've allowed to happen to me. And nothing happens to me unless it comes by permission, by your permission. All right? Read, please. They were tempted.
Slain with the sword.
They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, tormented.
of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know why? Because they're a part of us. They're part of the body. And there's going to be a time that we all come together, and I'm going to meet some of these individuals that inspired me to live just a little bit better, to do just a little bit more, because they lived it up to the level that Jesus Christ himself lived it. And if they can live it like that, then I'm going to pursue that until I get it too, saints. I've got to do it. You've got to do it by the help and the grace of God. May the Lord help us to stop being willing to settle for something less than what the Bible lays down as a requirement for us. May the Lord help us. I see it all the time. I have been tempted that way to say that I don't have to live it quite the way that the Scripture lays it out, but the Lord touched me on the taps me on the shoulder and let me say, and tells me, I want you to pursue perfection, and I want it to be a relentless pursuit. I want your will, Daryl. I want all of it. I want it perfectly laid down to me. And this is all that the Lord is saying to you. I want your will. I want your obedience. I want your love. I don't want you to look around and see what the world is doing. I don't want you to look around and see what your brother is doing. I want you to measure what you do by me, by Jesus Christ. I am the measure, he says. And if I went through it, what would I do in the midst of that? When somebody turns against you and they spit in your face, what would I do? Get in their face and let them know, don't you do that again. Is that what Jesus would do? When you're offended, you get back. When somebody says something bad, you get offended at them and you walk away and you don't want to have anything to do with them ever again. And you get mad at the whole church as a result of what somebody said. Is that what Jesus would do? I thought about Job. When you take into consideration Job and you look at all the things that Job went through, do you realize that the devil had to go and get permission from God in order to do anything to Job? And that was before the grace dispensation. So if you had to go and get permission, why do you suppose that God put that in the Bible? So that you and I would know and understand by that exchange that there is an exchange about you. That the devil is going behind the scenes, so to speak, and he's saying, well, listen, they say this, but I don't believe them. And the Lord says, you can test them. And look at all the things that happened to Job. Was it just natural things when you look at it? If we look at it, see, we have the privilege of looking at the other side. But just look at the natural side. As far as Job was concerned, his finances just went just like that. They took everything that he had. He lost his whole family just like that. They seem like natural things that happen to you and I every day, don't they? Things like this, maybe not to that degree, but things like this happen to people all the time. Heard about the individuals that lost their whole family, or a good majority of their family. That would have been a terrible thing, wouldn't it? And it's something that we don't understand, and in our minds it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But God, do you realize, I don't know if they were Christians or not, but do you realize they had to go through God in order for it to happen? I can't explain it. So the Lord allows these things to happen to you and I. And as they happen to us, he sits back and he watches how we react. Do you know what he'll do? He'll send a message. How many times have the Lord given a message right before a trial? Or right during the trial? And what does he say in Hebrews? It's for what? In Ephesians? It's for what? Perfection. There's something about you that the Lord wants to perfect. He wants to perfect your attitude. He wants to perfect your character. He wants to perfect something in your heart. So he allows these things to happen. And we complain. And we say, why me? Rather than pursuing and becoming a better Christian than we were yesterday. We get on a little plateau and we're just satisfied there. All right? And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. If we didn't need it, he wouldn't have given it to us. You know what I've learned in our generation? Some folks don't feel like it's very important to come to church. I don't know what the situation is with anybody here, but some folks don't feel like it's that important to come to church. I can get what I need at home. I read my little devotional, spend a little time at home and have a little house church or whatever we're going to do, and then I leave. Then I can do whatever I want to do the rest of the day. Don't come to church. Let me say this. There is something about coming to church that God intended for us to do that. There's something about the fellowship of your brethren that you cannot get at home. I don't care how much Bible you study. You can study it for 2 hours. You cannot get what the joint next to you supplies if you're at home. And so I see that there are folk, well, ain't very much going on at the church. Ain't nobody going to be there anyway. Pastor's gone this Sunday, and so therefore I'm not going to come to church. Shame on you. Seems like sometime when the pastor's gone, folks stay at home. Does y'all do that here? Nobody's here. Brother's going to be pastor's not going to be there Sunday, so I don't think we're going to go. We'll just have a little Sunday school at home. Shame on you. The Lord has done this. The Lord has allowed pastors and teachers. We got somebody that's going to do something. I'm going to go in the 16th verse. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There's going to be sometimes preacher's not there. There's going to be sometimes that we just got to edify one another. But there's something that you know, one of my favorite services is Wednesday night prayer service. You know why? Because the saints get to testify. We had a service the other day, one unlike any that I'd been in, where the saints were, it was a Sunday afternoon service. And they just started. One started testifying, and then another one popped up and started testifying. I was taking prayer requests. It was time to pray. And this one was standing up thanking the Lord for a prayer request that was answered. As soon as he sat down, somebody popped up and was thanking the Lord for something. And it happened all over the church. And for about an hour, people were testifying, shouting and running around the church. You know why? Because every joint supplied. Now, one of you hadn't been there because that wasn't one of those services. You know, we come to Sunday morning, but we don't have to come to Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, or we don't have to come to Wednesday night prayer service. Those are some of the best services. May the Lord help us. Therefore, your edifying, for your perfecting. All right, we'll move into our conclusion. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, mature, well-equipped man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you know that there's a lot of deception that's going on out there today? A lot of it. We've got to be careful at what we open ourselves up to. All of us. May the Lord help us. All right. Read one other scripture. Philippians 3, verse 15. It's a continuation of what Paul said. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So I want us to take into consideration, where can we be perfect? We can be perfect in our submission to the will of God. We can be perfect in our obedience to the will of God. We can be perfect in our love for God. We can be perfect in our hatred for the things of sin. And I believe that that's one of the places that the Lord needs to help us be more perfected in. Because what I find is that if I'm sympathetic to something, I can't perfectly hate it. So if I'm sympathetic to the world and the way the world is doing things, I can't truly stand against it. If I'm sympathetic to some evil way. It's not that bad, but it's bad enough. And I'm sympathetic to it. I can't lay full judgment on it. May the Lord help us. Be ye perfect, the scripture says, for I am perfect. This is a relentless pursuit of perfection, to be everything that God wants us to be. Pray for me.